My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
For the Build 4 Talk Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, it's Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network, and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Thursday morning. I said, Jerry, just hang around. Ask me that question you were about to ask me because Boomer's not here yet, but he ran out anyway. But we'll get to that coming up at like 6:25. Boomer's got lots of stuff in his hand as he joins us this morning, something that looked like a walking stick. I have no idea the stuff that he brought into the studio, but I am excited to find out what that is. And we're excited to talk about some positivity, as that's all Boomer wanted to do yesterday. I think that's the mode we're in right now. I think that mentally, we just don't want to be dragged down by anything. Because this really is a great time of year. It really is. And then we're just right on the precipice of football, and both these teams haven't lost a game yet. So, like, we want things to be good, man. And last night, they were rocking chair victories in the end for both of these teams. And they both really needed it. You couldn't lose a series to the White Sox if you were the New York Yankees. But really, in the standings and where they were, the Mets desperately needed it. And they got it. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Jay. You know, we do get a lot of gifts here.
Yeah.
I'll expose those gifts a little bit later on.
All right.
It's a little early in the morning right now. We just want to get this thing going here.
Gotcha.
And, love the how you describe last night's baseball games, because they were rocking chair games. And that's exactly, like, the last two games are exactly what the Yankees need and what we all expected them to do for three games against the White Sox. But
okay,
all is right in Yankee world right now, so everybody's going to calm down. And then, you know, the Mets, I don't know what to tell you. Here we go. You know, I mean, they got to win 75% of their games. I don't know if it's even possible to do that. I believe 75% of the games that they have left, I don't know if they can do that in order to, you know, be taken seriously. I mean, if, you know, up and down, lose a game here, lose three games there, you know, that's not going to get it done. We all know that. So this final, 6 to 7 weeks of the season is going to be, they have to start doing damage, as Tommy Lugauer will say. And I do appreciate, you know, his personal confidence and his optimism, because he's taking a different tack than his buddy Sean Marash, who's totally negative half the time.
Sure. That's
not
right.
Totally negative half the time. No. Always negative.
Always negative all the time. Yes. Yeah. A little yin and yang situation there. And last night, of course, it's an Aaron Judge night. Fastest player to 300 home runs. He is having a remarkable season once again. And we're talking about a guy who had a miserable start to the season. I mean, he essentially had a throwaway month And you look up at his numbers at this point, and we're talking about a great season for anybody, an all-time season for anybody.
A lot of guys would take his numbers right now and then
End of the year.
Right, and go walking in there and say, give me a raise.
And it's August 15th.
43-110, and he's batting .333.
Yeah.
All right, so again, you know, I saw where a lot of people picked up what I've been saying about how the Yankees can't pay Juan Soto more than they're paying Aaron Judge. And, you know, people, I'm serious about that. I think because of Aaron Judge's performance and because of what he has done here and the records that he has been setting and the record pace he's on right now, I'm not trying to be an idiot about it. I'm trying to be pragmatic about it and understand the finances of what's going on. And I know Yankee fans would be angry if they were unable to re-sign Juan Soto, but really that's going to come down to Juan Soto and what he wants to do in terms of his life and how much money he is expecting. Now, he turned down a lot of money from Washington, turned down a lot of money, I believe, from San Diego, and now is in a prime position because of the lineup that he's in and who's hitting behind him. Has a lot to do with this. Now, he's a great ball player, don't get me wrong. You know, I wanted him back here 3 years ago when Jerry was bopping all over the studio.
Yeah.
So I would just, if he wants $500 to $600 million, which I would think that he's going to want, I just don't know how the Yankees can do that. I mean, they can do that and go out there and play with six guys, and then if he gets hurt, they're screwed.
All right, so let's, I guess, go back to the time of Derek Jeter and him being the captain of the New York Yankees, and the Yankees would spend so much ridiculous money in these off seasons to go out and get the best pitchers and the best hitters, and inevitably, he was not the highest paid player on the team.
Let's face it, A-Rod wanted to come here. A-Rod said, hey, I'll go play third base, even though he knew that he was a better shortstop overall than Derek Jeter, and he was the better player overall in terms of numbers and explosive numbers and things of that nature. I know that's blasphemy for Yankee fans to hear, but it's true. And Derek Jeter, they went to him and said, what do you think? And he said, fine, because he was the captain, and he knew that A-Rod would make the team better. I mean, and I think that I kind of feel like Aaron Judge would say, fine, you can pay him more than me. I just don't necessarily know the Yankees want to pay him more than...
Well, they're going to have to, and it's also, it's not apples to apples. It's because when they hit free agency, and the market is what, you know, for you, what it is at that time. It's what you're worth, and the San Francisco Giants offered a ton of money. What the Padres offered a ton of money for Aaron Judge during his free agency. He decided to take the deal that the Yankees were offering him, and Hal Steinbrenner said, hey, if you want to be a Yankee, you got to take this particular deal. And he did. So if you went up to Aaron Judge and said, all right, Juan Soto could be a Yankee, but he's going to be paid more than you,
he would say, fine.
Or Juan Soto's not a Yankee and you're the highest paid Yankee, I'm sure he'd opt for Juan Soto.
I think he would do exactly what Derek Jeter did
when
they went and got A-Rod. I'm not saying it's him.
Right.
I'm saying what it is, it's the reality of how much money Juan Soto was going to command. And right now, I was looking at SpotTrack, and SpotTrack estimates different amounts of numbers, and you look into the future and you see what the contracts are, and we all know what the contracts for the Yankees are. I mean, the Yankees will have close to, you know, $90 million before they hit the tax threshold next year, I believe. But how are you going to spend that $90 million? Are you giving 50 of it to one guy and then 40 for 22 other guys?
Yeah. I mean, I think that you'd have to if you wanted to keep on.
I don't know if it's eight, maybe it's 18 guys. I would have to look at it again.
So so just to be clear, it's not that you don't think that.
It has nothing to do with Aaron Judge.
The statement is not that the Yankees can't pay Juan Soto more than Aaron Judge because Aaron Judge is the captain and he's the guy and he's a homegrown Yankee and everything else. It's that. Can the Yankees actually, on the books, add a salary that's more than Aaron Judge with Cole's salary on the books, with Stanton's salary on the books, and then you're adding another one on top of Judge? That's where you're saying the Yankees can't fit that.
Yeah, I mean, and I look at, I try to look at these numbers, and I think that they're relatively accurate when it comes down to trying to figure out how much the Yankees will have next year to spend before they hit the tax threshold, which I believe is $244 million. No, they're over it this year. The Mets are over it this year. The Dodgers are
over it. But there's levels of it. So, I mean, you go over it a little bit, you get penalized a little bit. You go over it a lot, you get penalized a lot.
So the tax threshold right now for this season is $237 million, according to SpotTrack. And the Yankees are number three on the salary list. Their estimated salaries are $314 million right now. They're minus $77 million in space that is estimated before they get to that tax level. Their tax bill is $60 million right now. All right, so when you go to 2025 and you look into the future, and this is, you know, anybody can do this and go to SpotTrack and look at this. The tax threshold next year is $241 million, okay? And right now the Phillies have 10 guys on their roster that are going to account, I guess, with other estimated issues, 10 guys in their roster that are listed for $236 million for next year. And the Yankees are third on that list. Six players on their roster, $189 million, meaning that they have an estimated space before they get to the tax threshold next year, $51 million.
And that's the first tax threshold,
correct? Yes.
I know, but I mean, I think that's important. I mean, there's the Cohen tax. There's the, you know, it's...
The Yankees, according to SpotTrack, are going to have a $51 million space estimated before they hit the tax threshold next year. The New York Mets, however, the Yankees are third on this list. The Mets fall to 10th on this list because other guys' contracts are coming off that they're paying this year. And the Mets have almost $100 million in estimated space.
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of people look at this offseason and say that the Mets are the biggest threat to take Juan Soto away from the Yankees. And I really do believe the Yankees are going to make an offer. They're going to make a fair offer, and it's probably not going to be the highest offer. And it's really going to come down to whether or not Juan Soto and Scott Boras are going to go for the extra money, or they're going to say, this is perfect, I can play with Aaron Judge, I can hit in front of Aaron Judge. I mean, it's not going to get any better than this short porch. I mean, I've got the greatest logo, the most recognizable logo in baseball, in the world, on my hat and on my jersey. And by the way, it's amazing. I walked into a couple stores in Amalfi in the town, and there's Yankee hats that are sitting there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, come on.
100%. They're all over the place. And they're all in different colors, too, by the way.
Yeah,
they're not
exactly
just the Yankee colors.
No,
they're
I
every
know.
Color.
Especially, you know, when you get out of the country, I was like, geez, just matching it with your outfits.
I'm not so sure that everybody who buys or wears one of those hats realizes that they're wearing a Yankee hat. I think they just like the NY logo, and they're thinking they're wearing a New York hat. Now, let me just explain this to you. The 30th team on this list, of course, is the Oakland A's. Now, the Oakland A's, according to SpotTrack, have no players on their roster that are worth anything. And they have $21 million committed to players, I guess, that you know, that could be player benefits or whatever.
It might be the floor, too. That might be the salary floor.
Right, exactly. So they have $219 million available. So maybe they'll go for one. So
yeah, I think so. It'd be perfect.
But you know who's number 29 on this list? Is the Baltimore Orioles.
Well, they got a lot of young players.
They do. And also, I was looking at other teams that may make a run with the amount of money that they have available. You could see Toronto going. You could see Boston. You could see St. Louis. You could see the Angels, I guess. Seattle has money available next year. And that's could that be a Robbie Cano situation? Because, you know, the state of Washington, no income tax. State income tax, that is. I don't know. There's probably about five or six teams that will try to land Juan Soto, I would think, that will put a lot of pressure on the Yankees to have to come up with the money if they want to keep him.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that the Yankee fans and the Yankees themselves bank on the idea that it's the best place to play, and you can't compare the organization to anything else. And there is some truth to that. And
oh,
I think
it's 100%.
And the reason I say there's some truth to it is I also think that a guy who's turned down a lot of money in the past and has waited for this moment and is in his absolute prime to hit unfettered free agency is for him not to take the highest deal if it's significant money would be shocking to me.
And I don't want to hear this from somebody. you know, he should take less in order to play on a better team, and he should take less, and he should be deferring. When I say deferring, not deferring money, but deferring to the captain of the game. I don't want to hear that. His job is to get as much money and raise the stakes for everybody else. That's what his job is. Number one job is to win with the Yankees and perform for the Yankees, which he has been doing. And we all see it. And we all see how great he is. But it also, on the other side of it, the business side of it, and I always tell you this, they have to get as much money as they possibly can, and they have to raise the bar for everybody else coming behind them.
Yeah, and I think Scott Boras and his offseason, his past offseason, that was a miserable one for him. And I think that the owners and the GMs were chuckling at the fact that it was probably the worst Scott Boras offseason in the history of him being an agent. That factors into this as well.
I know one thing. The Mets, if the Mets go after him, they're not bringing back Pete Alonso.
That would be surprising, yes. Because
they're not bringing them both in.
Well, the money that you'd have to pay Juan Soto would probably eliminate the Pete Alonso staying here. Plus, it also helps the PR hit if you're introducing Juan Soto in a Mets uniform and you're losing Pete Alonso as opposed to just trading away Pete Alonso at the trade deadline when the Mets are still in contention and the fan base freaks out. In the offseason, you bring in Soto and you're like, you know what, we can't fit Alonso. I think the fan base would be okay with it.
You know, for years and years and years, I would sit on here and I would talk about Jim Dolan and how he would love nothing more than a championship for both the Knicks and the Rangers.
Yeah.
And he would spend whatever it took in order to try to do that. And, you know, they unfortunately haven't won a championship. However, the Knicks have finally got it right. We have a team that we could look forward to and a team that is just littered with great players, great personalities, great people you can get behind. And the way that they play, you know, kind of reflects the way that the mid-90s Knicks played. And then also the late 60s and early 70s Knicks played. And that's what you love. They finally have gotten to the point where, okay, they don't have a Jason Tatum. They don't have a LeBron James. They don't have an Antetokounmpo or an Embiid or any of those guys. But you know what they have? They have a collection of really hardworking, good players that we all can really look forward to seeing and watching playing basketball. Same way I feel about the Rangers. I mean, the Rangers have been disappointing. They haven't won a cup, but they're run efficiently. They pay the right guys. They're smart hockey people. But we don't have a Nathan MacKinnon. We don't have a Connor McDavid. We don't have a Sidney Crosby. We don't have a Steven Stamkos. Well, we have the next level of guys that are really good collectively. And maybe you get a great goalie like Igor, and he wins you a championship before his career runs out. But I always would say, and I'll say this about Steve Cohen too, they'll spend as much money as it takes to try to win, but spending it right, the right way, is the key way.
Yeah, and Juan Soto is that right guy. I mean, if you're going to break the bank, you don't break the bank on some 40-year-old loser Max Scherzer. You break the bank on the 26-year-old, I guess soon to be 27, whatever.
I think
Juan Soto.
To be 26.
Soon to be 26, so yes. Is it actually an earlier?
Next right. Summer, I think he turns 26.
So, yeah, I mean, That's the guy you do it for.
That's the sweet spot.
Yeah. And that's why he's going to get paid more than Aaron Judge. Because Aaron Judge hit free agency at 30.
And I know we're talking about things that we have no control over. And I'm just trying to predict what I think is going to happen. But, you know, especially after the Yankees go to the World Series this year. And if he has a great playoff run.
Yeah.
And somehow he gets another World Series ring.
Was that a when the Yankees go to the World Series that I just heard?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, you got him in the World Series.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. 100% you got them in the World Series.
Yes.
Isn't baseball a funny sport?
It's a very funny sport, yes.
Yeah. Anything can happen.
I have two of the great baseball players of today's age. By the way, who's your favorite greatest baseball player you've ever witnessed?
Who's the greatest baseball player I've ever seen?
Yeah.
Dave Magadan, really. He was the first one where he jumped off the screen to me. That speed that he had was really amazing, him running down to first base with ankle weights. Yeah, it's that's what Jerry was talking about. Jerry this morning, he opened up the warm-up show. So we'll get to that a little bit later because Jerry, he loved Ken Griffey Jr. So he was the greatest baseball player I ever saw. And now it's Aaron Judge.
He was going around asking everybody.
He was. Yes, he was. And there was one very, very interesting answer that we'll get to a little bit later this hour.
It was an interesting answer because it wasn't the answer that somebody had given and spoken about for months and 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 all of a sudden.
That's right.
It changed.
It did. I was shocked.
I had never truly been shocked. Actually, one other time I was shocked during a warm-up show when CeeLo got up and left on Al. That was shocking to me. That CeeLo, of all people, had enough and vacated the studio because of Al Dukes.
Very, very emotional.
Yes, but this was the second time I was shocked when I heard an answer of the greatest baseball player. Someone was asked, someone who's not here right now.
And it's their opinion, and we appreciate opinions. That's what we do around here.
That's right. They were asked the greatest baseball player I ever saw, and the answer just it blew me away to the point where I'm going to dedicate an entire segment to it. That's how blown away I was.
Okay.
I think it's going to happen right around 6:45.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right. Is Jerry going to stay with us then?
No, I don't think. I mean, if he wants to, but I know he's going to
start this whole thing.
Yeah, it's true, but I don't. Jerry likes. He's got to do some work out there. You know, he's got to cut tape. We don't need him. I don't want to bug him.
Okay.
But if he'd like to stay, he could stay.
I have other things I can do. I can go get
go
audio.
Freaking all
right,
do him.
Very good.
There he went. So go freaking do them. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Just getting started on this Thursday morning.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
I'm looking at the Sports Network. It's got a cruise ship on it. Are you a cruise ship guy?
I have never been on a cruise, so I can't really say if I'm a cruise ship guy or not. I have never been on a cruise. It doesn't sound like something I would do, but I know a lot of people enjoy it.
Depends on your accommodations. If you get a nice big room with a balcony, it can be fun. Those inside staterooms, oof.
Yeah, and those are rough. Aren't you supposed to or expected to mingle with others on these crews?
I think that's a thing of the past now.
Oh, okay.
Now you sit by yourself in a restaurant as opposed to having the joint tables on most cruise ships.
I don't know, but I've been on one cruise ship my entire life, and it was the maiden voyage for the Disney Magic.
You're definitely paid for that.
I didn't pay for that.
No, you were paid for
you
that.
You were paid for that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
To be on 100%.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Gave my little kids a chance to run around with Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
We did do the Disney cruise, too, in 2008. Well worth it.
You know what's funny? That's the one time I pitched a cruise to Gina because it sounded easier to me than actually going to Disney World.
It is. And the characters are everywhere.
Yeah, but then she's like, no way, we got to actually do the actual Disney World. So we're doing that in March.
Hey, sleepyhead, wake up!
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be...
That's going to be a rough...
Big doings going on, so let's get started.
I hope you're staying on property. You know, Gunnar and Darcy went down there and they did an Airbnb and I'm like, what are you doing?
No, I'm not. Did we send Izzo with you to film?
See you real soon.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Bossy pays for it, fine. Yeah, that'd be fine.
Up and at him, pal.
Yeah, and I don't...
You don't talk to me like that!
And I don't want to complain about it because I know that sounds terrible because I've got two beautiful, healthy children that are going to be enjoying themselves.
You will have a good time.
And you make the sacrifice for them. And I understand that's what's important.
But every dad out there, including yours truly, that have done it.
Yeah.
You just want to pull your hair out
it's going to be horrible.
I don't think
horrible.
In March you will. I disagree. I think you're going at the right time.
I think everybody goes in March, don't they? February and March?
No, I think the summer is the most popular time when everyone's out of school. I'm talking, you go in July.
No, Jersey, New Yorkers, Connecticut, people from Connecticut.
Well, they go down during spring break.
Yes.
And then the winter break that we have on the Long Island.
I know about that because we don't go to the public schools. I just know the summertime is miserable because it's 900 degrees and the lines are long. You're going in March, probably 80 degrees.
Yeah.
And I don't think it'll be as busy as summer. I think you have a good time. You can play some golf a little bit. Maybe.
You ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
So there's a Sayville golf trip in Orlando. Right before the Disney trip.
Perfect.
So I'm going to come right off of the golf trip, right into hell.
So you're going to be in good shape.
I'm going to be in good shape.
Yes, because you just played golf. You'll be all right.
Wait,
you're going to be okay.
Is Gina's going to fly down with the girls by herself?
Yes.
Ooh.
She's done it many times.
Come on, cut the clowning, will you?
She's done it many times, and she does it to visit her dad on times that I can't take off of work, so she wants to go visit her dad down in Florida, so she takes it. She's fine. She actually enjoys it.
She handles it.
She actually really enjoys doing it, and I'll help her on the way back. I'll be on the plane on the way back, but down there.
But you know how you get. You get crazed when you guys go out to dinner, and
the kids
are a little out of control.
Yeah, it's not good.
Now you're going to be down there. They're going to be a little out of control.
I'm probably going to be severely hungover that first day, too.
That's the other thing, too.
Right into that.
Maybe you won't be in a good shape.
Yeah.
Joe Montana, you and the San Francisco 49ers just won the Super Bowl. What are you going to do next?
I don't know. I think you're trying to do that to needle me this morning, but that wasn't my Super Bowl.
Still works, though.
Jerry Rice went to Disney World.
He'll find
Disneyland
that.
Or whatever.
That's right. Give him a couple minutes. He'll find that one. All right, Jerry, let's hear it, man.
Let's hear it. We're brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food delivered right to your door by Flag and Anthem. Real close for real life. So who would be at the mic for the 300th home run in the career of Aaron Judge? That would be Emmanuel Babari.
3-0. Judge drives it. Deep left field. Way back and gone. Goodbye. On a 3-0 pitch, Judge lasers home run number 300. The fastest ever to hit that mark. And blows this one wide open in the eighth.
And it was right.
That's
after
a terrible call.
intentionally walked. Good old Juan Soto to get to him. Emmanuel on the fan with Susan that Eddie piped in there. 10-2 the final. Yankees beat the White Sox. Here was Judge on Yes, asked about walking Soto to get to him.
I get why he did it. You know, the way Juan's been swinging the bat and, you know, what he's done this series. You know, four homers, driving the ball over the park. You know, I'd probably walk him too in that situation.
Here was Oswald.
Could you imagine what it must sound like when the pitcher knows that he's going yard on him?
And he knew it too, right?
Well, of course, they all know it. But I'm just thinking of the sound for the pitcher just sitting here going, oh, Jesus.
And like, by the way, why are we walking people when you're the White Sox at this point?
I couldn't agree with you more.
You got 29 goddamn wins. Just pitch to these guys.
Really trying to get to 30.
I mean, like, I know Grady Sizemore is the interim manager, and maybe he's trying to show that he can manage during this time, but for the love of God, just play the games.
Couldn't agree with you more. Here was Oswaldo Cabrera with Susan. I was surprised that they walked him.
Yeah, everybody was like, whoa, what's happening here? But at the same time, we know that the pitcher, they don't want to face any of those two Yankees.
Well, you have to because they're both in the lineup. Now, I'm going to play one more highlight because this is one of the cooler things I've seen. You got, not Orlando, Oswaldo Cabrera, who we just heard from. He's on second base, and you got a fly ball to center field.
2-2, Verdugo drives it. Right center field, Fletcher back on the run. Fletcher reaches out, tumbles over Robert. Did he make the play? Well, Cabrera's around third. Verdugo's in between first and second. Throw to the plate, tag, save! Cabrera's in there to tie the game.
He tagged up from second base.
It's unbelievable. And, you know, we had a caller yesterday that was
begging for this guy to be in the lineup, give him more opportunities, and he was probably smiling last night this because, I mean,
that's
he was playing like his ass was on fire.
That's what you're looking for. What did I say yesterday? Give Aaron Boone a reason to leave you in.
You're right.
Well, he's giving you a reason.
That's one of the reasons why you will stay in the lineup right there.
I believe you said make it tough on him to take him out.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what you said.
Well, that makes it tough on him. The hell of a play. By the way, Soto did homer in his first at bat, too, so not too bad.
Four home runs in three games or something?
Yeah, four in two games.
Two games.
Yankees are off today in Detroit this weekend. They remain a half game ahead of Baltimore for first place in the AL East. The Orioles did beat the Nationals 4-1. Over at Citi Field, we get to the Mets and the A's. The Mets bouncing back with a win.
And the pitch is flied in the air to deep right. This one's got a chance. Butler going back to the wall. It is gone. Into the Mets bullpen in right center. Number 100 as a New York Met. Francisco Lindor, a little milestone here.
And not exactly 300 like Judge, but good for him. 100 as a Met, pretty good. Comes in a 9-1 Met win. He was on WCBS 880 afterwards. Happy to hit impactful home run, not just be it his 100.
It felt good because we won. And he added to the lead that we had at that moment. I'm just trying to do my best to make sure we find a spot in the playoffs.
Well, they stay two games behind Atlanta. So a couple of things. Pete Alonso was 4-for-4 with a home run, a double. He drove in three. And David Peterson, 6 1/3 for the win. He's now 7-1.
All right, so maybe Pete Alonso now. Maybe he's on. Now let's go. Now's the time.
Go back it up.
Let's go. Some more of this.
Now you got Jose Quintana to start today at 110. We mentioned staying two games behind Atlanta because the Braves, for the third straight day, beat the Giants, and this time beat them soundly.
Left-on-left matchup, Owada Harris. Swung on and clocked to deep right field, swinging a big bat, and that's off into McCovey Cove. It's a grand slam.
Yeah, for Michael Harris, Braves radio with the call, 13-2. So a couple of close games. Well, they annihilated them last night. They'll have the series finale coming up later this afternoon in San Francisco as the Braves go for the four-game sweep.
And then why is it not such a hard trip for the Braves to go out west and win?
Because they're the Braves, man.
Oh, okay.
They just do everything right.
The
now
Mets
they're
really
had
up. A tough trip the last couple.
They're sniffing the division now. Okay. They woke up like, you know, it's time to play some baseball.
And the Giants were playing great into the series. And they've just, 3 in a row. And then the Phillies had lost 4 straight. They beat the Marlins 9-5. You got a grand slam from Kyle Schwarber there. All right, NFL-wise, Patriots trade Matthew Judon to the Falcons for a third-round draft pick.
Good for the Jets. Good for the Jets.
And we found out that J.J. McCarthy will indeed miss the season with knee surgery. Here was the Vikings head coach, Kevin O'Connell.
As crushed as I am for our team and the excitement that we had in our building, and our fan base felt the same way, especially after seeing him perform really well the other day at U.S. Bank Stadium. I'm the most crushed for J.J.
So he'll miss the year. Like you said, maybe it's a good thing in the long run.
That's really what I believe. And I know a lot of people are reaching out to me on social media going, oh, the team's cursed. And, oh, it's such a terrible day. I really don't think that it is. We've seen so many of these guys that haven't been ready get thrust in because of pressure. And it does suck, and it's emotional because they got excited about drafting a guy number 10 overall to be the starting quarterback. But sit and watch and learn.
You know, sit, watch, and learn is one thing, but sit, watch, learn, and have to go through knee therapy is another thing.
Yeah,
I mean, I would have loved to him to be the backup quarterback to Sam Darnold.
But he wouldn't have been for very long.
Well, the point being is that like Drake May up in New England. You know, let Jacoby Brissett play, but I don't want Drake May being hurt. I want him being on the field. I want him being in uniform. And if New England's getting blown out, give him the fourth quarter to go out there and kind of get used to it a little bit in games that don't matter.
As much as I don't think J.J. McCarthy is going to be a good player in the NFL, one thing I know about him is that he is very studious and into it and wants to learn, and he's just one of those guys, as they say, they love ball. One of those things.
Yes.
So I think that this, I can't have the overarching negative take on this because I have said for the longest time that a lot of these guys with you shouldn't be playing at all in their first year.
So he could have been the back. At some point, Sam Darnold was going to get benched for J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy was going to go in there. He was going to get the crap kicked out of him and then potentially ruin him for the rest of his career.
Right. Not everybody is C.J. Stroud.
Yes.
I understand that.
And I don't think he was going
to
be.
And most of these guys, like Michael Penix, will be able to sit. I think that Drake may be able to sit, and hopefully he will sit for a while. But I'm a big believer in that, unless the guy is Caleb Williams. I don't know if you saw any of Caleb Williams. I went back and watched him, and he's he's pretty damn good, man. And you can already see that he feels like he belongs. Now, there's a long way for him to go, but I think already they're off to, a lot of these guys are off to a great start, so that's good. But the one thing I was going to say about Matthew Judon, who the Patriots did trade to Atlanta, you know, this is the same situation now that Atlanta finds themselves in as the Jets find themselves in with Hassan Reddick. Now, Matthew Judon is, he signed a huge deal back in 2021. He's in the final year of that deal. He's going to make like $6.5 million. He feels like he's vastly underpaid, kind of like Hassan Reddick is vastly underpaid. And plus, he's 32 years old. So he want, you know, you, we could say whatever we want. Atlanta probably checked in and said, look, we'll trade for you, but we don't want you holding out. We don't want you being, upset. We need you to be a player here. And I think he said, okay, I'll be a player. But he also said that I know that the Atlanta Falcons want me and that we'll work something out. Now, that's kind of like what Hassan Reddick was saying.
Yeah. I was just about to say that. How did that work out for Hassan Reddick and the Jets?
I mean, these players want to get paid, and Matthew Judon was coming off of a significant injury, a torn pec last year. The Patriots are rebuilding. They got a third round pick, and they probably they believe that they have a young player who can take his spot, and who is not going to get hurt coming off of an injury.
All right. Lastly, sometimes guys do right when they should. Now we know when you guys had Aaron Rodgers on, some clips went out there, and there wasn't the proper credit given. CBS Sports Network is wonderful, but I mean, you guys did do the show and the interview. Well, some guys do right, like Stephen A. Smith.
Here's what the Jets quarterback had to say about the manuscript on the Boomer and Geo show on WFAN.
This Ian O'Connor book was
that's
this
kind of cool. Yeah. on his podcast on YouTube.
By the way, we give him credit. That's on his podcast. That's not on his show.
I just thought it was nice. I don't understand why you do this. I mean, you
minimizing. I think Jerry was presenting us something where we were complaining the other day how we didn't get proper.
Well, one outfit did it the wrong way. Yeah, the other did it the right way.
And now you're crapping on
it. With a big audience.
I appreciate Stephen A. Smith doing that on his podcast. They should be doing it on the ESPN show. It's what on the show that he's known for.
Okay, so next hour, we will hear some station stuff.
Oh, good.
And some more baseball.
By the way, who put the sign on the vending machine that says, honestly, no one carries cash anymore?
Definitely Gen Z-er.
It has to be, right?
It's a Gen Z-er, somebody.
I haven't been to the vending machine before. I don't know.
And by the way, there is not, the only reason I know this is because I went to go get coffee, and all the vending machines seem to be empty.
Yeah, they are.
There's tuna still in there.
There is a couple packs of tuna.
I'm not getting tuna.
I believe a Kind bar and a Starburst, because I noticed what was left.
I'm in for the Kind bar and the tuna. That'd be about it.
And what's that, Fleek? Just Skittles by the elevator?
I think there's Skittles by the elevator.
Okay, so there you go. But I'm telling you, when something is in there by itself, it makes it more enticing. I looked at that Starburst. I was like, maybe I'm going to get a pack of Starburst today.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, it was just sitting there by itself. I was like, I'm going to save you from that empty, cold vending machine.
Nice fruit chews.
Yeah.
But the fact that somebody ripped the piece of paper up, wrote a note on it, and taped it on.
And they type it out?
No.
Sounds like someone that was starving.
Handwritten?
They probably had no food.
And it is taped on the vending machine.
They could have bought tuna. That takes cards. They could have got
tuna. That one does, but this one obviously doesn't. Come on, man.
Yeah, we'll do a handwriting sample. We'll get forensics on that and figure it out. All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Built Ford Tough Studio coming up.
Bitch.
Coming up next, a shocking moment for me during the warm-up show. An answer that somebody gave that just absolutely blew me away.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Whoever's doing the overnight show, I listen to driving in. Just a routine of mine, find out what's going on, what everybody's talking about.
What's the buzz of the day here at WFAN?
When it comes to sports.
And, yeah, of course, a lot of these guys who have hosted the overnight shows I've been friends with for a long time, too, so I like listening to them. Sal, and now Chris McGonagall. The two most recent. And I listen a lot because I drive in a long distance. So, I hear an hour a day of these guys. So I remember things. And I know what they talk about. And I can reference things in the show. I'm a sponge when it comes to the overnight programs here at WFAN. So I'm going to bring you back to last summer. And this is not just something I heard. This is something that was heard all the way in Japan.
And I heard it.
And you heard it as well.
I heard it. And the passion that is associated with it.
Oh, yeah.
Made me believe in the genuineness of the person who was giving the opinion.
Right. And it went viral.
And I gotta
across the world.
And I gotta say this: this person, we'll get to it. The person that was giving the opinion could have easily went Homerism. And did not do that.
No, didn't.
Which I said, wow, he didn't do a Homer thing here, and he went objective.
He absolutely
and
did.
And I said, that's why he's going to be a pro.
Exactly. It's not arguably. This take from him and this particular video was the biggest moment in his sports talk show host career because it went global. They got views in Japan because of this. So here we go. This is Chris McGonagall last summer talking to a caller. You're first going to hear the caller. But C-Mac's take that morning and many, many mornings for months and months and months is that Shohei Ohtani is the greatest baseball player to ever live.
You're saying that Ohtani already in, what, 3-4 years is the undisputed greatest baseball player of all time?
He's playing two positions. He's two players in one. Mm-hmm. He's a quarterback who leads the league in touchdown passes, and then he plays defensive end and leads the league in sacks. He's not just fairly good at either. He's the best at both of them.
But Ken Griffey Jr. did so much more.
He didn't throw a single pitch in his whole career. He never struck anybody out.
He did things.
No, he didn't. He didn't do this. He didn't do this.
Yeah, he was a much better defender than Ohtani.
No, much better defender. He pitched the complete game. How do you defend that? Better than that.
I mean,
that is passion.
Great take, great passion.
Unbelievable.
He's right about everything when he says, how can you be a better defender than Shohei Ohtani? He pitched a complete game shutout, whatever it was. So this morning, now fast forward to this morning, Jerry Recco is doing the warm-up show by himself. And he is talking about how Aaron Judge is the best baseball player that he's ever seen. So he's going to go around the room to ask everybody. And C-Mac is in the control room at this point. He's going to go around the room and ask everybody, who's the greatest baseball player you ever saw? So I'm thinking in my head, I'm projecting ahead here. Like, this is going to be a good conversation.
And a good argument because of McMonagle's passion.
With Shohei Ohtani.
Yes.
I mean, he's comparing him to Babe Ruth, everything else. He's better than Babe Ruth. He's the greatest to ever live. So I'm like, man, so Jerry C-Mac.
That's the thing. Like, better than Babe Ruth, better than Aaron Judge. Like, this is why I love C-Mac.
He's able
to... you know, put his fandom aside and give you a passionate, objective opinion with like Melinda's hot sauce on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. So I'm ready to go in the car. I'm like, this is going to be good. Jerry and C-Mac debating Judge Ohtani. And this is what I get.
McGonagall, best baseball player you ever saw, aside from Aaron Judge.
Barry Bonds.
What?
Fraud!
What a fraud! How could you, for months and months on end last summer, a clip that goes global, say that Shohei Ohtani is the greatest baseball player you've ever seen, screaming at callers, passionate. McGonagall is the Ohtani. He became the Ohtani guy. Oh, there's Chris McGonagall. He's the Ohtani guy. Oh, hey, Ohtani guy. It's actually easier to say than McGonagall, Ohtani guy.
McGonagall.
Yes.
And this morning... who's the greatest baseball player you ever saw? Barry Bonds. Huh? I didn't hear Barry Bonds once driving in last year. Not once. Barry Bonds. Just like that.
Doesn't even think about it. And does he take into account the steroid issue or no?
Guess not.
I guess not, right? I mean, like, Shohei Ohtani, like, great pitcher, great hitter, home run hitter. He's a good fielder. When they used to put him in the outfield, or put him, I think they played him at first base. Didn't they play him at first base a little bit? I mean, I'm very disappointed, honestly.
I am too. I texted him right away.
What did he say? Did he respond?
He did.
And what was his?
He goes, I said, I said, didn't you get a million views screaming that Ohtani is the best player in history? He goes, yes. I was under the impression that Jerry was talking hitter, even though he said best baseball player. Huh?
What?
Play that again, second one. He was under the impression he asked who was the best hitter
McMonagle,
of all time.
Best baseball player you ever saw, aside from Aaron Judge.
Barry Bonds.
Oh, man. It sound like hitter to you? McMonagle, best baseball player you ever saw. So, he said that he was going to clarify and address this tomorrow during Yankee Hot Stove.
Okay.
Fraud! Fraud!
Exactly. And I'm with Jerry on this one.
Yeah, fraud all the way.
Has to be.
Total fraud.
There's no way to explain it other than just saying maybe you changed your mind because somebody got to you and you looked at some numbers and you went through the weeds and you saw the war and whip and all this other crap.
The only excuse, which is a terrible excuse or explanation, would be that he's in the control room, he's not paying attention, and he got confused. But it's so clear. McMonagle, who's the best baseball player you ever saw? Barry Bonds. All right, C-Mac will join us in a couple of minutes. We do have to take a break. I'm sorry, C-Mac, but we get way behind here. It's not good. So tell him to call back in a couple of minutes if he doesn't want to hold. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Whoever's doing the overnight show, I listen to driving in. Just a routine of mine. Find out what's going on, what everybody's talking about. What's the buzz of the day here at WFAN?
When it comes to sports.
When it comes to sports. And, of course, a lot of these guys who have hosted the overnight shows I've been friends with for a long time, too, so I like listening to them. Sal, and now Chris McMonagle.
McGonagle.
The two most recent. And I listen a lot because I drive in a long distance. So, I hear an hour a day of these guys. So I remember things. And I know what they talk about. And I can reference things in the show. I'm a sponge when it comes to the overnight programs here at WFAN. So I'm going to bring you back to last summer. And this is not just something I heard. This is something that was heard all the way in Japan.
And I heard it.
And you heard it as well.
I heard it. And the passion that is associated with it.
Oh, yeah.
Made me believe in the genuineness of the person who was giving the opinion.
Right. And it went viral.
And I got to
say, across the world.
And I got to say this: this person, we'll get to it. The person that was giving the opinion could have easily went Homerism, and did not do that.
No,
didn't. Which I said, wow, he didn't do a homer thing here, and he went objective.
He absolutely
and
did.
And I said, that's why he's going to be a pro.
Exactly. It was a big, it is arguably, actually, it's not arguably. This take from him and this particular video was the biggest moment in his sports talk show host career because it went global. They got views in Japan because of this. So here we go. This is Chris McMonagle last summer talking to a caller. You're first going to hear the caller. But C-Mac's take that morning and many, many mornings for months and months and months is that Shohei Ohtani is the greatest baseball player to ever live.
You're saying that Ohtani already in, what, 3-4 years is the undisputed greatest baseball player of all time?
He's playing two positions. He's two players in one. Mm-hmm. He's a quarterback who leads the league in touchdown passes, and then he plays defensive end and leads the league in sacks. He's not just fairly good at either. He's the best at both of them.
But Ken Griffey Jr. did so much more.
He didn't throw a single pitch in his whole career. He never struck anybody out.
He did think he
no, he didn't. He didn't do this. He didn't do this.
Yeah, he was a much better defender than Ohtani.
No, much better defender. He struck. He pitched the complete game. How do you defend better?
I mean, great take, great passion.
Unbelievable.
He's right about everything when he says, how can you be a better defender than Shohei Ohtani? He pitched a complete game shutout, whatever it was. So this morning, now fast forward to this morning, Jerry Recco is doing the warm-up show by himself. And he is talking about how Aaron Judge is the best baseball player that he's ever seen. So he's going to go around the room to ask everybody. And C-Mac is in the control room at this point. He's going to go around the room and ask everybody, who's the greatest baseball player you ever saw? So I'm thinking in my head, I'm projecting ahead here. Like, this is going to be a good conversation.
And a good argument because of McMonagle's passion.
With Shohei Ohtani.
Yes.
I mean, he's comparing him to Babe Ruth, everything else. He's better than Babe Ruth. He's the greatest that ever lived. So I'm like, man, so Jerry
See,
and
that's,
C-Mac.
That's the thing. Like, better than Babe Ruth, better than Aaron Judge. Like, this is why I love C-Mac. He's able to... You know, put his fandom aside and give you a passionate, objective opinion with like Melinda's hot sauce on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. So I'm ready to go in the car. I'm like, this is going to be good. Jerry and C-Mac debating Judge Ohtani. And this is what I get.
McMonagle, best baseball player you ever saw, aside from Aaron Judge.
Barry Bonds.
What?
Fraud!
What a fraud! How could you, for months and months on end last summer, a clip that goes global, say that Shohei Ohtani is the greatest baseball player you've ever seen, screaming at callers, passionate. McMonagle is the Ohtani. He became the Ohtani guy. Oh, there's Chris McMonagle. He's the Ohtani guy. Oh, hey, Ohtani guy. It's actually easier to say than McMonagle, Ohtani guy.
McGonagle.
Yes. And this morning... Who's the greatest baseball player you ever saw? Barry Bonds. Huh? I didn't hear Barry Bonds once driving in last year. Not once. Barry Bonds. Just like that.
Doesn't
even think about it. Doesn't even think about it.
And does he take into account the steroid issue or no?
Guess not.
I guess not, right? I mean, like Shohei Ohtani, like great pitcher, great hitter, home run hitter. He's a good fielder when they used to put him in the outfield or put him, I think they played him at first base. Didn't they play him at first base a little bit? I mean, I'm very disappointed, honestly.
I am too. I texted him right away.
Did he respond?
He did.
And what was his?
He goes, I said, didn't you get a million views screaming that Ohtani is the best player in history? He goes, yes. I was under the impression that Jerry was talking hitter, even though he said best baseball player. Huh?
What?
Play that again, second one. He was under the impression he asked who was the best hitter
McMonagle,
of all time.
Best baseball player you ever saw, aside from Aaron Judge.
Barry Bonds.
Oh, man. It sound like hitter to you? McMonagle, best baseball player you ever saw. So... He said that he was going to clarify and address this tomorrow during Yankee Hot Stove.
Okay.
Fraud!
Exactly. And I'm with Jerry on this one.
Yeah, fraud all the way.
Has to be.
Total fraud.
There's no way to explain it other than just saying Maybe you changed your mind because somebody got to you and you looked at some numbers and you went through the weeds and you saw the war and whip and all this other crap.
The only excuse, which is a terrible excuse or explanation, would be that he's in the control room, he's not paying attention, and he got confused. But it's so clear. McMonagle, who's the best baseball player you ever saw? Barry Bonds. All right, C-Mac will join us in a couple of minutes. We do have to take a break. I'm sorry, C-Mac, but we get way behind here. It's not good. So tell him to call back in a couple of minutes if he doesn't want to hold. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.